I was near Jackson, Mississippi, and been traveling on some interstate highway. And suddenly, the car just began to shake, and I thought, what in the world has gone wrong here? And the farther I went, the worse it got, and after a while, I realized that it wasn't the automobile, it was the highway on which I was traveling. So I asked some questions then a little bit later, and someone said to me, well, don't you know, that's a politician's highway. And I said, well, what do you mean that's a politician's highway? They said, well, the money that was supposed to go into building that road went into the politician's pockets. What they did, they somehow or another paid a few bribes and this and that, and pulled a few strings here and there to get these people to lower the standard for the construction of that highway. They didn't put enough gravel beneath it. They didn't put the proper mix in the concrete. And the result was that everyone who went up and down that road from there on had to suffer as a result of their failure to live up to the standard that had been set down, or the specifications that were in the contract that was made. How often I think we travel the roads of life that have been improperly built because someone has lowered the standard along the way. How many of us have gone in to purchase something, small or major, and then later found it to be defective because someone lowered their personal standard and didn't care about the construction of the automobile, the blender, whatever it was, the washing machine? Someone just didn't care enough to do it right. Standards were laid down, but they personally lowered that standard at that moment. The result is that when you purchase this item, the serviceman has to come out. You have to take the automobile back and have the bearings replaced and the alternator and all the other things. You get that tire that's out of round or with the something just doesn't work right. And we say, oh, well, that's just a part of the time. Well, I wonder sometimes in the course of the building of our lives, if we're not just as much out of tune with the reality as these individuals who built the highway or built the products that we might buy. We're in the process daily of building our lives, and it would be well for us to consider the standard that God has laid down for the developing of our lives so that we can enjoy the life that God has given us as well as the life which is to come. First of all, I know that every building must have a plan. I've told you stories about improperly planned buildings. I've seen individuals who have constructed buildings and have had no idea of what the finished result would be. The result was they were never finished. And I believe that we need to properly plan for our lives if we are to live that life which would be termed successful in the sight of Almighty God. No individual can just get together a few pieces of old board and a few nails and build anything that is worthwhile. And hence I do not believe that your life will be that which even you want it to be, that even you want it to be, unless you have planned and brought together the proper materials. I'd like you to turn with me this morning to the book of Philippians, to the fourth chapter. I enjoy Paul's letter to the Philippians because it's such a practical book. It deals with the manner of life, with your manner of life. It deals with your attitude toward one another. It deals with the example that you set for others. But more than all else, I see that Paul is using this letter as a means of exhorting us to properly develop our lives. Here, I believe, in the 8th verse of Philippians 4, we have the key to our enjoyment of life. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any praise, any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Key building materials. Yes? But plans, you see, are involved in this, in bringing these things together. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Use these things as the key to building your life, as it were, bringing the blueprint together to see that in your mind's eye, then, the finished product is also then to properly prepare for the structure itself. In the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the Apostle Paul, we believe, is the writer of this letter, and he speaks in this manner, verses 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Preparing for life. Thinking on the good things. Bringing into your life the basic substance that will hold your life together. I've seen these two nail carpenters who put the sections of a building together with a couple of nails at the top and a couple of nails at the bottom, and I wouldn't want them on a job of mine. I wouldn't want them building a house for me. But then again, I see individuals who are saying, yes, I believe the structure will stand, but I'll fasten it together so that when whatever wind will blow, however great the weight of snow and ice on the roof, this building, this structure will stay there because I will fasten it together. And I see faith as the, shall I say, as the fastener, as that which attaches us to God and God to us, and holds the various portions of our life together regardless of how great the storms of life may be. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtained a good report. For they went on and their lives were held together. They did not disintegrate. Perhaps I've told you the story about the time when I was on the edge of a tornado. In fact, I was in my automobile in the state of Indiana, and I outran that storm. And later I saw some of the result of it. And there was a housing developer. It was one of those two nailed jobs that I'm talking about. And anyway, these houses were just torn to pieces. And in the midst of this development that had been made on an old farm, stood an old farmhouse that no one thought was worth renovating or remodeling or rebuilding. And the only damage to that old house was where it had been hit by pieces from those new ones. And so I think that in our modern times, people are thinking in terms of the material, and they're thinking in terms of gathering to themselves those things which will secure their future. And when in reality, the old things are still sound. The sure foundation is still Jesus Christ. The sure fastener is still faith. And that which will hold life together is still hope. And so we build on these things. Now, there beyond this, there's not simply the matter of saying, I believe, I trust, I have faith, I have hope. I think on those things which are honest, at least when it's convenient. But let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. The book of 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And I note here the Apostle Paul is the writer, and we'll note the first two verses. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But note verse 2, but having have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul is here saying, I walk in an upright manner. I renounce the world. I do not have the idea in my mind that I can be part world and part Christian. I am walking in the ways of God. And by so doing, my way of life and the Christian way of life, this responsible way of life, shall be shown forth to the world in which I live. Now remember then, one of the best ways of determining where you are is to look at yourself. Look to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. And again, the Apostle Paul, the writer, and we read these words from the 5th verse. He says this, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. And then he goes further to say, know ye not that your own, not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And that which is worthless, useless, something to be cast out and trampled underfoot. But he is saying here, do not wait for the preacher, the Sunday school teacher, or for God himself or Jesus Christ to examine you as such to determine where you are, but examine yourselves. You know who you are. You know what you are. You're with yourself more than you are with anybody else. You know where you stand. Take a look within yourself. Sometimes it's a rather frightening experience to think about seriously. Think about those things that you have been thinking about and those things that you have been doing. And if you look at your checkbook to see where you're spending your money, to look at your gas tank and think about where you've been traveling, to think about to look at your watch or clock and think about where you have been spending your time. And then as you examine these things, you say, but now how much time have I spent studying the Word of God? How much time have I spent in service to my Lord? How much time have I spent in helping my fellow man? How much time have I spent in assembling myself with others in the house of the Lord to study, to determine what is happening in this world and what we should do? These are serious things, or the very matter of neglect, one of the greatest difficulties in that a man, or shall I say, the matter of neglect creates more difficulty probably than most anything in life. And we're going to examine that to a degree tonight. But God in his goodness has given us the privilege of looking at ourselves. But then as we look at ourselves, and I probably have told you this little story, but many, many years ago, there was a song, is back in the 1930s somewhere, about 32 to 34. There was a song that was going around the country, and it might have been earlier than that. And it said, I love me, I love me, I'm crazy about sweet me. And so let's be careful lest we get ourselves involved in that little ditty and think about ourselves more highly than we ought to think. But as we examine ourselves, after we've done all these things, we are told to go beyond this. If a person gathers the material together and says, okay, now I will build the building. I have the nails, I have the lumber, I have the roofing, all these things. There comes a time when you have to get busy and lay out a foundation and determine that you will go up with the structure. So the Apostle Paul writes again in the next verse of Philippians 4, verse 8, as we had read earlier. And then he goes on to say about those things, after you've thought on these things, then verse 9, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what's the next word? Do. It is a thinking if there's no action. After you have seen, after you've been thinking about these things, after you have learned of these things, you've received these things, you've heard these things, you've seen these things, now do something about it. Always remembering that you can never lower the standard. You can take a piece of wood that had been out in the weather for a long time, been down on the ground, and it may look all right to you, but if it has weathered and it has dried and wet and dried, it becomes wet and dried again, you can pick up that stick of wood and tap it and it will break. I fear sometimes that we try to bring into the structure of our lives those things which are already rotten and decayed. And so Paul says here that we should think on these things, but after we have thought on these things, put the structure together, be sure that we have in the structure, in the pile of materials, those things which will be lasting. In Acts 13, the 25th verse, a verse that I guess I had never noticed before, but it's talking about Paul was at Antioch preaching. And as he was preaching concerning Jesus Christ, we find here a testimony concerning John the Baptist. And it says of John the Baptist, verse 25, Acts 13, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? As John fulfilled his course, he was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He said, I must decrease and he must increase. John must fade out of the picture that Jesus Christ might be exalted. And the scripture says he fulfilled his course. I think it's important. I think it's a serious matter that we think on these things. The Apostle Paul in the second book of Timothy in the fourth chapter and his testimony concerning his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And then we read again in Acts the 13th chapter that God is faithful. In Acts the 13th chapter in the 33rd verse, we note there again in the same testimony that Paul was making, he speaks about God's work, verse 33, God hath fulfilled the same unto their children. The promises were made, as he speaks concerning it, and we declare unto you the glad tidings, how that the promises which were made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same. God is faithful. Now what will we do with our lives? We're supposed to live the life that is will give bring honor and glory to God. In Galatians the fifth chapter, the book of Galatians the fifth chapter, and the Apostle Paul speaking concerning the things that should be built into our lives, speaks in this manner. Galatians 5, and we will note beginning with verse 19. Speaks in here, he says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is some of the rottenness that we were talking about a while ago. But in contrast to this, 2 Peter, the first chapter, 2 Peter, the first chapter, the 3rd through the 8th verses, 2 Peter 1, and we will begin reading here in this manner. He speaks about the good and precious promises which have been given, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Then notice, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Note, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You bring together the material, but you sort out those things which are inferior, which would make an unsound structure, says Paul. Throw those things aside, but add to your faith virtue and all these other things. If you have these things in you, he was saying, your life will have in it the proper materials. They will stand the storms of life itself. What is the end result of all of this then? The Apostle Paul says this: if you do not lower your standards, if you're not willing to sell yourself out to the world, if you, on the other hand, are willing to walk as God would have you to walk, God then, in being the faithful God, will fulfill his promises and will bring about his purposes in your life. For he goes on to say in 2 Peter 1 and verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Note, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to build our lives. We are to be sure we are to plan our lives as we would build our lives. We must get busy and do the building. And then finally, according to God's promise, we will see the end result. For if you do these things, an entrance will be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our God. Again, I say to you, do not lower the standards. Go with me to 1 John, to the 3rd chapter. In this concluding text, I would have you to notice the book of 1 John, the 3rd chapter, the first 3 verses. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. God made a plan, and he has drawn us into it. And we're becoming a part of that building, that temple of God. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But note, do not lower the standard. And every man that hath this hope in him, if you really believe that God will give you a life everlasting because of his love, because Jesus died for you, if you really believe that Jesus, as it says here, will appear to give to you life everlasting, don't think for a moment that you can just do anything that you want to do. You've been bought with a price. Jesus gave his life for you. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It's important then to live for God and live for Jesus Christ. The heartaches and the trials of this life are evidence. The result of failure to serve God is evident. The failure to live as God would have man to live is evident. It's all around us. We live in a decaying society because man has forgotten his God. But there is hope. God's promises are sure. God will help us finish our course. God will help us to fight the good fight of faith. And God will give to us, through his mercy, the crown of life that shall never fade away when Jesus returns. But do not think that God will ever change his qualifications. Do not think that God will ever change his standards. Man may change, but God will never change. And because of God's unchangeable nature, we can be assured of life everlasting, because God has promised it. He is faithful who has promised. And so may God bless us as we would serve him and live for him, to the end that we might enter in to that finished structure, as it were, life everlasting, into the everlasting kingdom of God, to his glory, with that world without end. May God bless you as you would live for him.